Welcome to From Caving In to Crushing It, the podcast for those who find themselves immersed in adversity and choose to write their story instead of having others write it for them. I'm Drew Duraney, and I'm your host.
Today's guest is Whitney Coburn. Whitney is a renowned dating and relationship expert, coach, speaker, author, and podcaster, helping women date better and find love. Whitney has been featured on Amazon, Roku, Phoenix National Network, Zonder TV, IAEA University, and numerous summits, podcasts, and online platforms, spreading her message that dating may be complicated, but love is still worth it. Her signature coaching program, Dating Done Right, teaches practical skills she learned as a professional matchmaker and guides women through the inner work necessary to open to a whole new kind of love. With her extensive training in psychology, life coaching, energy work, and embodiment, ladies learn to know and love themselves deeply, date confidently, and attract a lasting love they deserve. Enjoy the show. Hey, Whitney, how are you?
Hi, Drew. Doing well.
It's good to see you. Thanks so much for coming on. I always thank my guests. I thank who introduced us to each other. And this was Phil Reed through his Phoenix National Network. So thank you, Phil, for introducing Whitney and me. There's always a reason why people introduce people, and I think Whitney and I know why. We had a lot in common, this is a great time to get to talk and get to know each other even better and let the audience know a little about you, because you've got a great story to tell. I have you on for a variety of reasons, but I talk about often that in life, we're taught that life is linear. You know, the people who teach us that don't do it maliciously. It's an intent to either protect us or hope for the best. And you know, they'll say that if we do the right thing, all the right things, A plus B plus C, it's going to equal D and everything's going to be fine. And it's that case in the beginning and then something happens. So I say life is linear and then it's not. You have that external circumstance that kind of gets in the way and turns your life into a circuitous route. I also feel that there's three types of humans out there. I'll say for your purposes, three types of women. You'll have woman number one who's got so many blind spots that she doesn't see when things are in front of her that can offer her some opportunities to change her life. And she just goes through life the way it is and nothing changes. And then woman number two has more of a heightened self-awareness and she notices the adversity, yet she's the victim. It blames other people. Life is the way it is. I can't change it. I'm just going to keep doing life the way it is. It's the cards I was dealt and nothing changes. Woman number three is the woman I have on this show. You're woman number three. Woman number three has a much more heightened self-awareness. Her mindset is more of a growth mindset. And she's very well aware the adversity is happening. And she's sick and tired of the way things are going. And she's saying, you know what? This is not a barrier. This is an opportunity to change something, to become a stronger woman. And I'm going to take it on. And I've added three subsets to woman number three when I've really been thinking about this, that there's three potential opportunities for woman number three. The first one, subset one, I call her, is the one who wants to do some changing and has no clue how to start. Total paralysis. And so she struggles in taking that first step. Woman three, subset two, is the one who knows what to do, yet has a community of colleagues, people around who really aren't there to help be the expert and guide her in the right direction. So she does make some actions, but she's taken advantage of and doesn't really find her way. And it takes a lot longer. But woman number three, subset three, has a community, a supportive community of experts, and she knows who to go to. And that's the route she goes. And it may take a little while, but she finds them and she ends up where she is now, which is you. So I want to give you the opportunity to reach back as far as you need to grab that defining moment. It could be multiple moments But those that moment that was either the tap on the shoulder, the whisper in the ear, or like I needed 6 years ago, the 2x4 upside my head to wake me up to really say, shoot, Whitney, there's a better way to live. And I'm going to find it. I'm going to do something different to become the woman you are now. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with those different types. And I've met people at all stages. I've had a few different points in my life that have been turning points. But the earliest one in my adulthood that I remember was when my son was about five. I had my son at 24. I felt like I was 16 at the time. It was not a very stable situation. I was doing the best I could, but really struggling. And the relationship with his father was toxic, and I tried to stay in it for as long as I could. I tried to keep the family together, and it just wasn't possible. It wasn't healthy. So I ended up single. And I just remember this day that I was at work in Miami at Royal Caribbean's headquarters. And my son was at the daycare downstairs. So I'm at work and 7 o'clock PM is approaching. And I typically would work until seven because the daycare was open till seven. And I remember just feeling pretty miserable. And I grew up with a single mom that worked hard. And I grew up believing that women can be anything and that men and women are equal. And I had my vision of working in a corporate office and dressing nice to go to work and having a salary. And it just wasn't what I expected. It just, you know, that's a pretty small dream, I think, for most people. But it was like my dream, and I was there, and I was like, I'm not happy. And all of a sudden I had this flash of remembering people saying like, oh, you're a woman, you belong barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen, just like as a joke. Because growing up in the 90s, that was not, you know, we weren't dealing with the same things that people were dealing with in the 50s and before that. But all of a sudden I realized maybe I would rather be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen in a happy, healthy home with a loving husband than chasing my dream and working the grind and barely even seeing my own child. And it was a pretty depressing and it really started my path of exploring my femininity. And exploring that men and women, while equal and both deserving of different opportunities and both having a diverse range of different people with different strengths and all of that. I had been trying to put myself into a box that was not really me. And that moment, I found a coach that really taught about feminine energy and communication and relationships and self-worth and all of these things that I didn't know I needed. And I also started going to therapy. And so that was the beginning. I don't think that it was like a massive, huge turnaround in that moment, but it did help me to manage myself better and also to attract my husband, who, you know the story that after 5 years together, my husband passed away very suddenly and unexpected.
You've gone through a lot. You had that shift to start thinking differently and do different, and you met him. And I'm sorry that happened. That's another pivotal moment in your life. When that happened, how did you stay strong?
I woke up on Friday the 13th to my husband not breathing. And it felt really surreal. Like this isn't really happening. Like I was almost like watching it. And I remember having a thought like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to feel? How am I supposed to look? Like, am I doing this right? Like, what the? So yeah, it was just the craziest. His mom was out of town. His sister was out of town. I had to call them and tell them what was happening. And it just was total shock. Like, I feel it all in my body right now.
Right. Yeah.
Tingling in not a good way.
Of course. Of course. How long ago was that?
That was in 2017. So
2017.
Seven years ago.
7 years ago.
And, you know, how did I get through it? How was I strong? I mean, I definitely had my coping mechanisms, which I can see more clearly now that I've learned a lot more since then.
Yeah.
I allowed myself to grieve. I allowed myself to have ups and downs. A lot of people from the outside, they have an idea of what grief should look like.
Right.
And like, I have a friend that also lost her husband, and she posted a picture a few weeks after, and she was smiling, and somebody put a comment in the photo, like online, that was like, why are you smiling? Like, you lost your husband. And people don't realize that grief is a roller coaster. I remember being with his family and his friends, and we would be crying, talking about him. And then someone would share a funny story about him in high school, and we'd all laugh. And it was like just this wild emotional ups and downs and craziness. So I allowed that as much as I could, so that I wasn't pushing it down and just letting it fester, because when we do that, it will erupt later in other ways.
Right.
And I also went into a self-discovery journey and a healing journey.
Okay.
And I left my corporate job, which
you did.
You know, I just didn't have the passion for it anymore.
And
so I became a matchmaker, which I was really excited about and
driven. Wow.
I love working with people on such a personal level.
Right. Well, you know, it is an amazing journey you've had, and you know, we see those things that happen to us in life, and while we're going through them, we don't see any positives. We don't see how we can grow from it or how we learn from it. And the truth is that human beings need to have pain in their life to understand the difference and the distinction between different ways of living. It's just, it's unfortunate. It's part of life. And there's a song it's a Christian song. And in it, there's a line that says there's purpose in the pain. And part of self-discovery is finding out who you are and what the purpose is in the pain that you've had in your life and how you can grow stronger from it and learn from it. And, you know, and grief is different for everybody, right? So the person who put that in the comment, that's wrong. That's she or he may grieve differently. It's not us to say or to critique how people grieve. The key thing is to grieve, to let it happen, because I mean, I've suppressed grief. And when you finally want to address it, it just takes, you got to dig deeper and work harder to adjust.
And you really have to listen to your own intuition.
I mean,
I had a lot of people that judged me because I was in another relationship a year later and moving on with my life and left the house. And when it first happened, I remember literally saying, I'm not moving for 10 years. I'm not dating for 10 years. I'm not doing anything different. I'm just staying in this house. I'm staying in this life. Like, I'll figure it out. And here I am 7 years later and everything's changed. I'm in a new state, in a new house, new school for my son, new friends, new business, new industry, like everything.
Well, yeah. I mean, that journey in and of itself, those 7 years is pretty powerful too, because I love the way you met your current partner. Can I say his name?
Yeah.
Tim. And I'd love for you to tell that story, because you made an adjustment going from corporate to being a matchmaker, right? You had so much wisdom through experience. And I'm going to let you now go into the story of how you met Tim, because I love that story. I love it.
Yeah, so
This story, guys, it shows you how anything can happen.
yeah.
If you stop taking control of your life and you just be and let things happen. Go ahead. I'm
So he likes to say that we met on Grindr.
okay. Okay. Which I take it is a dating app or
Yeah, that's a gay dating app for men, so just a
got
joke.
it. I did not know that.
But
Okay.
so I started working as a matchmaker, which I'm not a matchmaker anymore. I'm a coach. So I
Okay.
help people with the internal work,
I see.
but I do work with a matchmaking company also, supporting
Okay.
their clients while they're going through the process. But I started working as a matchmaker a year after my husband passed. I went back to work. Everyone said, don't make big changes for at least a year. So I did that. I stayed in my job until I was like, no, I definitely want to leave. And I wanted to wait a year to be in a relationship. Dating was weird for me personally because if you lose your father, they're still your father. If you lose your brother, it's still your brother. If you lose your husband, it's still your husband. It was very weird. It was like, I have a husband. Like, I still love him. We didn't get a divorce. We didn't, that bond was not broken. And so when we started dating, I was like, well, I already love someone. So, and I thought, I'm not going to find someone that's going to be so amazing to meet all my needs. I thought I would need four boyfriends.
Yeah, I mean, I
One's
understand.
good for this, one's good for this scenario, one's good here. And so when I started working as a matchmaker, I had the lay of the land, right? I was talking to single guys all the time, but I was not doing it for me. I told them all, I'm widowed and I'm not dating. And they would back off real quick and not try anything saying that. And then all of a sudden, after I had like pushed away everyone and just kind of sat back and surveyed the landscape, I was going through the database of matches for my female clients. And I remember I was starting on the column that was what they're looking for in a woman. And when I read his, I was surprised to see that it sounded exactly like a friend describing me. Loves to dance and learn and all these different things. And so then I looked at his profile. Both of us had one child that was 11 years old. We both had, connections to music and dancing and Sicily and just seemed to have a lot in common. He was 10 and a half years older than me, so I wasn't expecting to be with someone that was, 10 years older, but he was cute and I liked him. So I reached out to someone and said, hey, I think I have a match for him. Me.
I love that.
So we went out, and it took probably 3 months for us to have our first four dates, and really slow in the beginning. And I have a tendency towards getting anxious in the dating phases. So, but I knew enough then to have the tools to let it go, to continue to date other people, like all the things that I teach people now in my love coaching. I think helped us to become a couple because if I would have just jumped all in right away, scared him away and probably would have flamed out. So we let it simmer and take its time. And then after those first few months, then we were all in and it was great and still great. We've been together almost 6 years now.
Wow, congratulations. I love how you acknowledge that you needed to learn what tools worked for you, right? And you practice them. And so I know when you're coaching, you're not telling people what to do. You may tell them your story and what you did, but you're giving them stuff that works so they could pick and choose and try what works for them. Is that a good way of explaining it?
Yeah, definitely. I do a lot of foundational work. So I like to work with people for at least 3 or 4 months because we work on their relationship with themselves, their self-talk, their ability to self-soothe. And all of this is required before you enter into the tumultuous emotional minefield that is dating in this modern world. And everybody, you're either broken apart by all of the awfulness of dating, or you're walled up so that you can't feel anything. And that's what I see. And it doesn't work. Neither of those work. We need to be able to be open and be vulnerable and share some of our heart, even at the risk of getting it broken.
Now that's a good point, and that brings us to something you and I are working on, which I'll mention, later on in the show. But the differences between men and women, many men, from what you have told me, when you look at either events, it's hard to find or challenging for you to find those, I want to say, strong men who appeal to the strong women out there. And it's a numbers game. Many more women out there than men who fit what you're trying to do. Is that How's that for an assessment? And tell me a little about the landscape, men and women out there, and what the men are like now.
So, online dating was supposed to make everything easier, and it's just really complicated things. And now most people have this impression that there's an endless supply of people, right? There's plenty of fish in the sea, and they don't take a lot of people seriously. And they just, go through one after the next and move on. And any little thing that happens, it's like ending, there's not a lot of knowing how to work through things. And I don't believe that relationships should be a lot of work. Like I was told that back when I was in a toxic relationship, oh, relationships take work. And it was not fun and it was a lot of work. And the relationship I'm in now doesn't feel like work. It
No.
feels like it, I've been learning a lot about the nervous system and how our nervous system regulation affects our love life and our life in general, and how we co-regulate with people. And my partner and I, we just co-regulate each other in
That's
such a
great.
beautiful way, just supportive, but also not sugarcoating or brushing things under the rug. We need to be direct, we need to
Absolutely.
communicate. And I know one of the things you said you were going to ask me was if I had my 10-year-old self in front of me, what advice would I give? And what popped into my mind was, speak up, girl.
Yep,
Speak up,
absolutely.
speak your truth. If you're not happy with something, I mean, there's so many times in my life where I was in this people-pleasing mode where my feelings were not as important as anyone else's, and I just would, take it for the team or push it down so that I didn't cause a conflict. And of course, I'm still a work in progress and still working on it, but I definitely speak up now. I speak my truth. And my personality type is not one that is really in your face and needs to be talking in center of attention all the time. But I also can't shrink down into the shadows either. So just having that, not only the confidence, but the ability. Like I didn't know how to speak up. It wasn't modeled for me in my home, as I think most people don't have great models of healthy relationships and communication in their childhood home. And so we just continue to repeat the process unless we take the effort to learn.
So if you were going to give advice to men who are in this dating pool, what would be top two pieces of advice?
Be funny. Be authentic, be real, but not to generalize too much, but there are general differences between men and women. Men tend to be very visual creatures, and unfortunately, this modern dating world has made women very visual also, because we're just looking at a picture and a few words and swiping. And it's not natural. We shouldn't really be just looking for a good-looking guy, because while there are good-hearted, good-looking guys, there's a lot that are not. And we're chasing after this thing that we want that really is not very valuable in our life. how attractive your man is not that important. Like, you need to have some attraction to him, but he doesn't need to be a 10 out of 10, 6 foot 2, six pack abs. Like, especially if you're trading off other more important things for that. So the way that the online field is now is basically the top 10% of men are the men that all the women want. And the other like 90% of guys are struggling to get a woman's attention. So
Interesting.
be funny, be clever, be unique, be different. Make them feel special. Make them feel like you see her. Because if you just say, "Hey, beautiful," just like every other guy says to every other girl, she's not going to give you the time of day if there's nothing else drawing her in. So I think being playful, bantering, being silly, and definitely being unique, because nowadays people are having the same stupid conversation over and over and over. Hey, how are you? Good. What are you up to? Just got home from work. What are you doing? Making dinner? Spaghetti? Okay. Like, boring. Have some
Absolutely.
questions to ask. Have some stories to tell. Like, get on the phone and be on the phone together. Share your voice. Like, you can't just expect to follow what everybody else is doing.
Absolutely.
And when that will just make you not stand out.
Love it. Now, would you give the same advice to women? Or what would you tell women?
No.
Top. Okay, good. I would love to hear the top few pieces of advice for women on this in the dating game.
Yeah, I mean, for women, being funny is less about entertaining the person and more about going along and having a sense of humor and being lighthearted. Like, if a guy says something really inappropriate, instead of just responding with anger, because it's not about him. It's about you. And if every time that I come across a rude person, I get, ah, then that's not good for my health. So I'm not going to be nice to him for him. I'm going to try to keep myself regulated and chill. And so if someone says something inappropriate, I might just block them and move on and not give it any time or thought, but I might just like throw something back that's funny. Like, one of my clients, a guy asked for nudes. You got any nudes? And she sent him a picture of color swatches of nude type of paints and sent that. And I don't know what ended up happening with that,
Love
but
it.
it's just funny. And it's just, you can enjoy your dating experience a lot more when you are lighthearted and you take things with a grain of salt and you don't let it mean something about you. That's the biggest thing that I see with a lot of women is we internalize it and we get insecure and we think that if the guy we really like doesn't like us, then we're not worthy, we're not good enough, we're not skinny enough, hot enough, whatever it is.
That's a good point. Both genders take things too seriously, I believe, and do take things personally. And actually, a colleague of mine told me she suggests people have a Q-tip on their desk, or at least a Q-tip placed all around where they are. And I'm like, why? And Q-tips says, quit taking it personally.
I've
Q-tip.
never heard that. That's
So.
nice.
I got a Q-tip on my monitor here. There we go. Drew, we're taking it so personally. So I took the tape off. It's funny. I mean, you got that, too many of us take it too personally, and life is short. You got
Yeah.
to enjoy it.
I
Got to
mean, it's
enjoy
hard not to take things
it.
personally.
It is. I mean, especially if you go, if you've gone through stuff in relationships, and many of us are overcautious. Right. So we will, we have that protective shell protecting us because we don't want to be hurt anymore. So that's going to be a nice challenge for you helping the men in this arena, getting them to start to feel feeling comfortable being uncomfortable, getting out of your, getting out a little feeling comfortable in your skin, but trying to get out into environments that make you feel uncomfortable and be vulnerable. It's a being vulnerable is a good way to learn. I just think I encourage men to be vulnerable in front of the right people, because if you are attracting people who are going to bring you down and you know that, and then you're vulnerable with them and you get that negative response that knocks you down, that's your fault. So, you know, be very careful who you put yourself in front of, and when you know that's a good person, then go for it and see what happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what I hear from a lot of women is that they're tired of men not putting in any effort and stepping up. And I think a lot of women are not doing that lately either. But the women I work with, they are. They're putting some effort and attention into their dating experience.
Yeah.
And they want a man that's going to plan things, that's going to take the lead, that's going to pay for the dates. And it's not about being entitled or greedy. For most of these women, if you take her on a cheap ice cream date, it's just as nice. Like, we don't need a fancy five-star dinner every time and to be like showered with gifts and all of that. That has its own level of toxicity.
Right.
But a lot of women are just tired of picking up the slack for guys. You and I will be talking about the differences between men and women, right? And bridging the divide in our upcoming training we're doing together.
Absolutely.
But a lot of women are just struggling. Well, women take on a lot of the emotional burden and the household burden and a lot of the things that go unseen and unpaid and unappreciated. And then we're expected to also handle 50% of everything else.
Right.
And
absolutely.
It's a lot. And it's really needed to have partners that are empathetic of each other, who can put each other in, you know, be in each other's shoes.
No, it's true. And it's good to hear from you that there are women out there who do appreciate there are men who are still chivalrous, who do have the traditional mindset of offering to pay, holding the door open for the woman. You know, but you hear in society, mainstream society makes it seem like there is no place for the male, you know, that, I'm not going to say the stereotype, but being masculine doesn't mean you have to be that toxic masculine they're talking about. You can still be, you know, make the plan and, you know, and even it's a lot of it's communication too, because if you want to make sure it's okay with the person, you can ask them, you know, would you like me to order for you, or you want to order yourself? You know, because it used to be where the guy would find out what the woman like and order for her, you know, that kind of thing. So it is an interesting scene out there, but it is doable. And you have somebody like Whitney on your side, women out there, certainly very doable to find the right guy for you. You know, so let's, okay, so I think, let me promote you now. I'm going to say the audience certainly captured the essence of Whitney Coburn, and everybody out there, men and women alike, go to Whitney's website, whitneycoburn.com. That's WHITNEYKOBRIN.com. All her programs are on the site. You can schedule a free discovery call or a consult. And she's got a lot of content. You can get that download for free. Plus, she's got this awesome free app, which I've downloaded. It's Love Coach in My Pocket. It's really cool. And when you do download it and buy it, there's actually a section in there where Whitney and I have a little talk there, right? Aren't we? We're in that together.
Yep, doing... you're in one of my lessons. Yep.
Yeah, in a lesson. That was fun. And another fun thing is Whitney and I are collaborating on a workshop, and it's coming up on August 10th and August 24th. So it's 11 a.m. Eastern to 1 p.m. Eastern on each of those Saturdays. And it's a can't miss or definitely go to. It's called Bridging the Divide. And what's the second part of our thing?
Fostering conscious romantic relationships.
Doesn't that sound cool? I bet you everybody out there would love to foster conscious romantic relationships. All right. So we'll put that information in the show notes, and I'm going to make sure that this episode gets out soon, so it's before that so everybody learns about it. Whitney, before we go, I have two questions for you. Okay. Now, yes, you alluded to the question I was going to ask you, and you're going to humor me and you're going to answer the question now when I ask it again. You're sitting down with 7 to 10 year old Whitney, and you want to give her advice about life. What was that you're going to tell her again?
Speak up, girl. Speak up. Speak your truth.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just the biggest thing.
Yep. It doesn't matter what the response is going to be. Be, you know, use your voice. All right. So let's see if you give the same advice to young Whitney. You're sitting down, young businesswoman, young entrepreneur Whitney, and you want her to give her advice about business. What are you going to tell her?
You know, because I had this dream of working in a corporate office and then was quite disappointed in it, I would just let her know that life is so much bigger than just working for a company. Mm-hmm. And there's so many other things that you can do to create value and to earn a living, and that a ton of money isn't everything. Mm-hmm. Yes, we need it for sure, but not at the cost of your well-being and having a job that feels aligned with your purpose and your soul is so great. Or at least having a side project. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of like the starving artists who don't, maybe it's too hard to make a living at that. So you do something, but you also have this passion project. And I don't think that most corporate jobs are offering that fulfillment deeply. It's kind of soul sucking and kind of, you know, controls your life. And most people, when they're not awakened, we just go through the day to day and we just don't know any better. So looking at my young business person self, I would probably have started this journey even earlier.
Love it. Great advice. Well, Whitney, I want to thank you, A, for coming on, but B, for coming into my life. It's great to have you in my life. Certainly, there's a reason why we met, and let's continue the conversation. Keep doing what you're doing. You're a wonderful human being, and you're offering so much value to the people out there. We need people like you, Whitney, so keep it up.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree. Same with you.
All right. Everybody out there, you take care of yourselves.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, please subscribe and give us a review to help others find it. I'd like you to answer this question. Are you living the life you want to live, or are you living the life others want you to live? I'd like you to think about that for a second, because I strongly suggest you live the life you want to live. If you want to learn more about what I stand for and my services and how I'm able to help many men get out of their own way, please go to my website at www.profitcompassion.com. Feel free to also email me at drew@profitcompassion.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. Take care of yourself and choose to write your own story instead of letting others write it for you.